Aloha. Thank you, Mr. Dan Dininger, and welcome everyone to the Feast of Tabernacles here in this beautiful environment that we have. You know, one of the lessons that my father taught my younger brother and myself was how to handle money. For example, I can remember from the age of 12, my dad would give me his paycheck, and my brother and I would walk to a grocery store. It was about five blocks away. And we would cash that check and bring the money back home to our dad. Therefore, my brother and I knew exactly how much money the family had and just where the money went to pay the bills. For example, the set by my father, we understood that if we got out and we got a job and we worked hard at that job, that we would be rewarded with paychecks just like our father was. Now, for adults, this principle is nothing new. When we get a job and we work, we expect to be rewarded for our efforts with a paycheck. Now, some of you may be wondering, well, just what in the world does paychecks have to do with the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, symbolically speaking, when Jesus Christ returns to this earth to set up the kingdom of God, he will have both hands full of paychecks to hand out to people just like us sitting right here in this room. The purpose of this message, then, is to remind us that we will be rewarded throughout eternity for the good works that we produce now in this lifetime. Point number one is this: we will be rewarded for our works. We will be rewarded for our works. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. We're going to be reading verses 11 through 15. And as we're turning there to 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15, we need to understand that I am not talking about salvation here at this point. Now, I know that in times past, the church has been accused of earning our salvation through works. Well, that is just not true. The church has never taught that in my 42 years of being in the church that I know about. We know from Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8, salvation is a free gift from God. We can't earn that gift of salvation. We are given that gift of salvation from God, and we don't have control over that gift. So what am I talking about here is something that we do have control over. Right this very moment, something that depends upon what we do on a daily basis, something that we can earn right now. Well, what is that? It applies to all of us here in this room, whether you're a preteen, a teenager, young adult, married with a family, a senior citizen, or you're like Mr. Dininger and myself, older than dirt. It applies to everybody. Well, what is it that I am talking about, that thing that we can earn now that will affect our future throughout eternity? That something is called a reward. A reward is something that we can earn, not salvation. That is a free gift from God. Well, let's read about this here in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and let's start reading in verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds upon this foundation of Jesus Christ with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built upon it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. That's exactly what will happen then with our works when they are tested by fire. And if you think about it, the material, the building material here that is in reference in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, can be divided into two portions, two categories, two types. The first type, gold, silver, precious stones, what happens to that when you test that with fire? Actually, naturally occurring gold, if you were to go into California hills where the gold was found some years ago, and you pull some of that gold out, that gold is mixed with other metals, things like copper, zinc, or lead. But the thing is, if you take that same gold and you apply tremendous amount of heat to it, guess what happens? The impurities are vaporized away, and it leaves an even purer form of gold. So you can see then, that type of building material is excellent. It can take the heat. But what about that building material such as wood, hay, or straw? Well, when you test that with fire, I don't care what kind of a building you might make with it. For example, you could make yourself a 6,000-foot home that's three stories high, and it's made with the very best of building materials, the best wood that you can get. Well, I tell you one thing, if you test that building with fire, it will be burned to the ground sooner or later. So the time is then, does the Bible give us an example of the two types of work? Yes, it does. Let's turn with me to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. Now here we can see the two types of examples, the two types of you might call, in quote, building material, whether it be wood, hay, straw, or gold, silver, precious metals. And let's read about it here in verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. They may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So here we can see the two types of building materials. The very first one there about the hypocrites, about the individual who's standing on the corner, and he's praying very sincerely, but he's also looking to the side and seeing if anybody can see him praying like that. And as they go by, they say, oh, man, look at that righteous man there. Well, let me tell you, those kind of works, they don't endure. Matter of fact, the only reward he gets is when the guy comes by and says, oh, great, he's a very righteous man. No, we have to have our building material of gold, silver, precious stones. And Christ tells us there in verse 6 that you go to God privately, privately. Don't stand on the corner. Don't try to make a big show of it. And God will reward us openly with a tremendous reward. Mr. Scott Moss, the next presenter, will be talking more about this, and so we'll leave the rest of that to him. Let's review another scripture, though, that talks about our reward. Please go with me to Luke, the sixth chapter. Luke, the sixth chapter. We're going to read verses 22 through 23. Luke, the sixth chapter, verses 22 through 23. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward, and you should have that, I have that underlined in my Bible, is great in heaven. For in like manner the fathers did also to the prophets. Please turn with me now to 2 John, the first chapter. 2 John, the first chapter. I'd like to remind you of Matthew, the fifth chapter, verses 11 through 12, as you're turning to 2 John. 2 John, the first chapter. It says in Matthew, the fifth chapter, verses 11 and 12, and I'll just quote it for you. Blessed are they when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So that when they persecute you, like the prophets did before, you will have a tremendous reward. Now, here in 2 John, verses 7 through 9, it says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. So here we can see then that we can work for an award. We can be diligent in what we have to do in our daily Christian life. Well, Christ talks about that reward. Remember in John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3, you don't have to turn there. I'll just quote it for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. That's Jesus Christ, our elder brother. He is going to get a place for us in the world tomorrow in the government of God. And he is going to award us that place. Christ isn't also just talking about salvation and the transformation of us corrupt human beings into incorrupt spirit human beings. Christ is also talking about a place in the kingdom of God. And since we are to reference this place in the kingdom of God, we could also use things like position or office instead of place. Well, the next question then we need to focus upon is, when will we receive this place, this position, this award, this office? That brings us to point number two. Point number two is this. We will receive our reward at Christ's return. Please turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're going to read verses 26 and 27. Matthew, the 16th chapter. In this physical life, God has blessed us many times over when we follow the laws that God has commanded us to keep. But those blessings pale in comparison to what God has for us in the future. This win, this greater reward will be given to us. We can start getting the answer here in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Let's read verses 26 through 27. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Now, we can see here that Christ says when he returns, he's going to be bringing his reward to us and he's going to give it to us. So just when is that going to start taking place? Go over to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and we'll get a little bit more input here as to the time frames that we're talking about. Here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, we're going to start reading verses 3 through 6. This is where Christ was having a private meeting. He was not talking to the multitudes. He was talking to just his disciples, those like us here in this room. And Christ is talking to us today in the same manner. Here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, what will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Drop down now to verse 21. We're going to skip over some of that stuff. Mr. Kubik went over a lot of this just recently, so we understand what it means. But in verse 21, talking about what Christ was talking about there, about all these things that are going to be coming to pass, it says in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. But let's drop on down to 29, get in the time frame as to when we're going to be receiving this reward. It says, immediately after the tribulation of these days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Remember what we were talking about over in Matthew 16, where Christ is returning with all of his angels? And the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he will send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, talking about this four winds and all these things that are going to be transpiring and the sound of this trumpet, we need to define exactly when that trumpet is going to sound. Please turn with me now to Revelation, the 8th chapter. Revelation, the 8th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Now, as we're turning to Revelation, the 8th chapter, to read verses 1 and 2, we know from Revelation, the 5th chapter, that there was a scroll in heaven, and it had seven seals around this scroll, and nobody was able to open it except Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ was able to open each of these seals. And as he opened each of the seals, when he got down to the last one there, the seventh seal had seven angels in it with seven trumpets. And let's start reading about that here. The seventh seal in chapter 8 of Revelation, verse 1. Then he opened the seventh seal, that was Jesus Christ, and there was silent in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Okay, we're not going to go through all the trumpets and what they did, but what we're going to do is we're going to see what that seventh trumpet does, because that, remember, in all the other scriptures we've seen so far, tells us when we will be receiving our reward. Let's go now to Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 15. Now, here in Revelation, the 11th chapter, this is whenever the seventh angel sounds. Let's read about that in the verse 15. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on the thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we will give you thanks, O Lord Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign. The nations were angry. Yeah, they're no longer in charge. Christ and we will be in charge, as we can see here. For your wrath has come, for the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, that takes in everybody, who should destroy those who destroy the earth. So here then, we can see that whenever Christ returns, he's going to have a reward with him, and we will be given that reward at that time. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. We're zeroing in just on the reward aspect. And let's repeat that and make sure that we all understand it on Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Let's just go over there. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verses 11 and 12. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works. Now, we know that from John, the 14th chapter, that Christ has been up there building that reward, you know, building the character in us. And now he's bringing that back to give to us. So the next question then we need to ask is, when can we start using that reward? When can we start using that reward? And that brings us to point number 3. We will put our reward to use at the start of the millennium. We will put our reward to use at the start of the millennium. Please turn with me back a couple of pages to Revelation, the 2nd chapter. Revelation, the 2nd chapter, we're going to be reading verses 25 through 27. Now, chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation are in reference to God's church throughout at that time, history now, and the return of Christ and the setup of the government of God here on this earth. And guess what? Christ, when he does that, we're going to be there to help him. Let's start reading first the reward that we will have and what we're going to be doing with that reward. Revelation, the second chapter, verses 25 and 27. But hold fast that you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. So you can see here that we are going to be given power over the nations. We've heard that earlier in the feast. We know from Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 18, all power and authority has been given to Christ. And here we can see that Christ is willing to share some of that power with us, and we will rule with him in the world tomorrow. That is an awesome privilege and an opportunity. I wonder if sometimes we don't really fully think about it, comprehend it, and really apply it in our minds of what a tremendous opportunity that Christ has given us here. Let's read about this in Revelation, the third chapter, verse 21. It says in 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me being in reference to Jesus Christ, on my throne, as I also, Jesus Christ also overcame, and sat down with my Father on his throne. This is a tremendous thing that is happening. I think, do we really grasp what is going on here? Sometimes people like to say, well, that means that we are going to be sitting up there with God the Father on his throne and Jesus Christ on his throne. No, Christ said that we would sit on his throne. He's allowing us to share the power and authority with him. He's still number one. He's the boss. But he says, I'm going to share some of that power and authority with you. In a way similar to the way Christ sits with God the Father on his throne. We got to remember that God the Father and Jesus Christ, they don't have a beginning like we have. All of us here in this room, we've had beginnings. And Christ, he sits there on that throne with God the Father. And Christ says, I'm going to allow you to sit with me on my throne. And we're going to be able to be right there. We'll be of the God kind in the God family. But we got to remember, we will never be at the level of worship or importance or of authority or any other adjective you would like to use regarding God the Father and Jesus Christ. They're always way above us. But we are going to be right there with Jesus Christ in the family of God. Now let's read about this in Revelation, the third chapter, verse 12, drop up a little bit further in the chapter. It says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now, there's something interesting here that we need to think about. It says here that we're going to be in the temple. We're going to be there serving with God. And how long is that going to be? Well, it's going to be for a very, very long time. It says forever here. We will always be there. It's just not through the millennium. It's not just for maybe 100 trillion years. That would be a short time period. It's throughout eternity. We are going to be awarded. That's the whole idea behind the better resurrection. That's what Christ has given to us, shared with us. So the final question then is, when can we start building that reward that is going to be given to us in the world tomorrow? That brings us to point number four. Point number four is, now is the time for building a reward for all eternity. Now is the time for building the reward for all eternity. Please turn with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew, the 25th chapter. We're going to read verses 14 through 30 real quick. Matthew, the 25th chapter. In this message so far, we have highlighted a number of events that will happen in the near future with the human family. Some of those events are the return of Jesus Christ, God's government being established upon this earth, us being born into the family of God. These events and many more we don't have control over. But there is one thing that we do have control over, and I think it's appropriate that we take a look at the parable of the talents here in Matthew, the 25th chapter. And I think that it'll help us to understand and focus upon what we need to be doing right now before Christ returns. Let's start reading in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to each one according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. Verse 19, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents. The Lord delivered to him 5 talents. Look, I'm going to give you another 5 talents besides them. And verse 21, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord. Verse 22, he also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents, and look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. And Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you the ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have. I've got it right here. What you gave me, I brought it back. Verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have at least deposited my money in the bankers, and at their my coming, I would have at least received a little bit of interest with that money. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has, take it away from him. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I don't know what kind of talents you have been given. You don't know what kind of talents I've been given. But I do know one thing. We need to put those talents to use. Whether it's 10 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent, whatever. We need to be profitable servants here at the feast. And you being here in this room for the Feast of Tabernacles, that right there is a being a profitable servant. You're doing the right thing. And when you pray to God, you should just let him remind him. Say, you know, God, I did what you told me to do. You know, my wife and I, when we get back home after the Feast of Tabernacles, we'll go in. We'll get down on our knees and we're going to tell God, say, God, thank you for the Feast of Tabernacles. We had a great time over in Hawaii. But you know, you told us to go there, and we went there, and we did what we could to help out. As you notice, my wife has already moved the flowers again. That's the way it is at home. I walk in, I say, is this our house? Everything's been moved. But anyway, the bottom line is we need to really focus upon doing what God has inspired us to do. And you know, as I look around here and I've been observing people at the feast here, I see gobs of good works in this Feast of Tabernacles that are made up of gold, silver, and precious stones. Young people, I remember a couple of young ladies out there. I walked in the door and they were right there greeting me. I really felt good about that. I thought that was all great. the special music from the choir, the song leaders and the speakers, you know. It all takes time. Ushers, parking assistants. When we pulled up, my wife had some more leaves to stick in the flowers, and there was a gentleman right there. Oh, ma'am, can I get those flowers for you? You know, those leaves and everything? That is a good work. Boy, you could put that into on the sun, and it still would not burn up. That's a good work. We also, for example, today we're going to have the family day. Mr. and Mrs. Clark are going to be out there getting us all going. I know they got a couple of nice sons and daughter-in-laws and things like that to help them. But that is a good work. That's what we need to be doing. And of all the people that have really had to work hard, and I understand what it means to be a coordinator at the feast, Mr. and Mrs. Tuck, they have done a super job. Those are works made out of gold and silver. The fire, when put to them, they're going to stand the test. Salvation comes as a free gift through the grace of God. But good works that we produce, we have to have Christ as that foundation of our Christian life. So what are the major points that we need to remember about our reward? Point number one, we will be rewarded for our works. You're going to get a paycheck. You're going to be rewarded. Salvation, eternal life, great things. Point number two, we will receive our reward at Christ's return. Point number three, we will put our reward to use at the start of the millennium. That's what we're here celebrating. And now is the time for building a reward for all eternity. Remember what it says in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 10? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. All of those good things that you have done, you will be rewarded for it. Therefore, from this time forward, now is the time for us to be working on our reward.